AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Americans freed from Russia. I'm Sherry Preston. Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich and former Marine Paul Whelan, as well as other people, are being freed in a prisoner exchange. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge has more on what we know.
Well, those two key American prisoners held in Russia, Evan, of course, for more than a year, Paul for more than 5 years. We now understand from a U.S. official that they are part of a broader swap. Well, we're getting what looks to be a very impressive deal.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze is at the White House with more on the timing of all of this.
Now that we know that the president is not seeking another term in office, he made very clear when he made that announcement he was stepping aside from the race that he has unfinished work to do. He has repeatedly said it is a priority of this administration to bring home Americans who've been wrongfully detained.
Both Gerskovich and Whelan had been convicted of espionage in Russia. Both men and the U.S. government deny those charges. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Insurance premiums for workers' compensation in Wisconsin are going down. Starting in October, Wisconsin companies will pay 10.5% less on average. That's about $206 million in savings over the next year. Workers' comp pays medical bills and lost wages for employees who get hurt on the job. It's 12 days until Wisconsin's fall primary. Anecdotally, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Don Millis says he thinks confidence in the process is going up, but he still has concerns about unfounded claims of election fraud.
I'm not necessarily talking about candidates. I'm talking about foreign countries. I'm talking about some of these bad actors who are going to challenge the results of elections or who use social media to foment dissent.
Millis speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Duluth Entertainment Convention Center officials say they're closing in on a temporary fix for the unbearable heat in the arena. According to a Fox 21 report, DECC officials say they will be renting a temporary air conditioning unit until they can use nearly $3 million of state bonding money to install their new AC system. The rental will cost the facility $100,000 over the next year and should arrive within a few weeks. The organization will also bring in more large fans and misting stations for visitors. A Rice Lake High School student has been named the winner of the 2025 Wisconsin State Park and Forest Vehicle Admission Sticker Design Contest. According to a press release from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, junior Evan Strand was named the winner. His submission aimed to capture the essence of a night spent camping under the stars, which will now be printed on over 500,000 state park vehicle admission stickers. The contest is in its 34th year, featuring the artwork of high school students. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Packers training camp continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers had a long practice in pads under the hot sun. Quarterback Jordan Love on how the offense is coming along in his second year as the starter.
We have a lot more chemistry together. We're still working through a lot of things as offense, building that chemistry, just understanding where we need to be on plays, the timing of plays, things like that, what we like versus certain coverages. So I think it's definitely still a work in progress. But compared to last year, I think there's a lot less question marks. Guys understand where we need to be a lot better, and we have a better feel for the offense. But we got to keep building on every day.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Braves 6-2. Starter Freddy Peralta held Atlanta to just three hits, but two of them were back-to-back home runs. The Braves lead the league in that category. Pat Murphy.
I thought he was great. He gutted it out. He gave up the back-to-backs, and this team is, that lineup's pretty impressive. I thought Freddy did really good, six innings. I'll take that anytime, the way he went through it, and especially the way he closed it out.
They head to Washington to play the Nationals tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy with a few lingering showers and thundershowers this morning, then gradually becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. It will be cooler today with a high of 82 tonight. Mostly clear, a little fog possible overnight. Low of 62 tomorrow, sunshine with a high near 90. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now 67.
Earl Ingram.
Let's go to Lynn for Oconomowoc.
I met Kamala, and she's super intelligent. She will select people who are competent in their field.
So, Sandy, you don't hear those words when it comes to the other guy.
Well, he's going to select loyal people. Project 2025 seems to diminish the notion that there needs to be competence in government.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba,
the host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
On the next show, Luke Mathers. Hey, wait, that's me. I'll be filling in for Todd. Joining me will be Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign to talk good government, and we'll preview some of the new foods at the Wisconsin State Fair.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff. Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. If you're watching on the live stream, you can leave a comment on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest join us. We love Haws, the Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County. Jen Smeha is here. Good morning, Jen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm very excited to learn about your 50-50-50 adoption event. What is this all about?
This is something that has come about kind of a person who is a donor of ours who really likes big dogs, wanted to help us out and had noticed that our bigger dogs seem to stay in our shelter longer. And he's not wrong. Unfortunately, a lot of pets are staying in shelters longer these days, whether it's because of the pandemic or who knows, just life in general. But he did notice that bigger dogs seem to be that larger portion of the animals that are staying longer. So he decided to give us 50% off all adoption fees with this great donation for up to 50 dogs that are 50 pounds or more.
I love it.
Wow.
I love it. It's interesting because, I mean, I know a lot of people want purse puppies and smaller dogs just because they're a little bit easier to handle. But I know folks absolutely specifically love big slobbering, sloppy, bigger dogs. They just do.
That's my best friend, Jane.
So if you are one of those people who is looking for a husky companion and 50 pounds, but 50 pounds,
literally and figuratively.
Yeah, but 50 pounds really isn't that big of a dog. I mean, isn't a medium-sized dog like 40 pounds?
Yeah, 45 or so. And I actually have a buddy with me here right now who's
is it dog time?
Yeah, there's a 50-pounder that's just down here hanging out with me. If
we can cool.
get my camera.
Where Hi, he? Baby.
He decided to take a nap. Okay. I had him.
There he is.
Oh, who is this? Who that's are we looking Ducky. At right now?
This is Ducky. And Ducky is a senior. He's about 9 years old, but he is like 53 pounds. So he's a really nice size. So for somebody who's not looking to get something that's 80 pounds and have to deal with that, which I understand.
Sure.
This way they can get a bigger dog that is part of this special. 50 pounds isn't necessarily that big.
He really isn't. And he looks adorable. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to go through puppydom, because not everybody wants to deal with a puppy, because that's its own set of challenges, right, Jen?
Yes, it is.
So
yes, exactly.
If he's 9 or 11, they've already gone through that. They don't destroy things anymore. They just kind of like nice, regular walks. We're not talking about running a marathon with an older dog like that. And probably just lots of scritches and belly rubs and stuff.
Yeah. They're, you know, the older the dogs get, the more they're hangout dogs. You know, they really enjoy the couch time, but most of the time they do enjoy getting out and about a little bit. It's just, yeah, it's not, we're not doing sprinting. We're not doing a marathon. We're enjoying life at this point. And who can't relate to that?
Yes. Absolutely.
My wife and I have she's going to turn one next week.
Maybelle,
our mini German Shepherd. And I love her so much.
He's become, Jen, he's become the person that he used to mock.
I did not, Jane, mock them. Jen, I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to love a dog as much as other people love their dogs because I didn't understand the connection because I never had a dog really growing up. So,
oh, of course.
So that being said, Maybelle, and I tell my wife all the time, like, I cannot wait till she's like 5 or 6. Because then it's just about it won't be as much zoomies. It won't be, hey, can I just run around the backyard for no reason for 2 hours? Thank you.
I mean, it is adorable to go through that and to see all that puppy energy and all the things they discover when they're a puppy. But that doesn't always fit into everyone's lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so if.
Right. And it's a lot of work having a younger dog and having a dog that is an adult that is, you know, already basic training, taken care of.
Yes.
And, you know, you can actually enjoy your time together. You can go out and do things together. And more people want their dogs with them. They want to take them to cafes. They want to take them to events. Mm-hmm. And with a puppy, you want to start doing those things with a puppy just to get them used to it and socialize to it. But there's all sorts of questions that you're going to have to deal with and all sorts of things that you're going to have to keep in mind. So having something that is already settled in, that is, you know, grown up and a little bit mature, that's a great thing because there's less question marks and more understanding. And you get to know each other so much better.
And one of the things I've heard, too, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you got an older dog, a senior dog, and you had a younger dog, like with Maybelle, her best friend is Lily, and Lily is 12. But when Lily is around Maybelle, Lily has a little more pep in her step. Not a lot. She's not going crazy, but she's excited to get going. She's moving around. And then at one point, Lily's like, all right, this is all done. I'm going to go back to the fireplace and lay down for 5 hours. So like there's a really great dynamic between an older dog and a younger dog. And Jane, you talked about your friend who only adopts senior dogs.
She only adopts senior dogs with special needs.
Oh, and bless her.
I know. She is such a special human being because some of these dogs she only has for 6 months. And then you have to say goodbye because they have come to the end. But she has dedicated herself and she works full time. She's got a full time job and everything. But she said, it is my mission to give them the best remaining time on earth that I possibly can. And I just, she's got the big, I don't know. I couldn't do that. I couldn't go through the pain, but that is her mission. And I just have so much respect and admiration for her. I think it's remarkable.
Yeah. It's similar to our foster homes. Cause we do have foster programs available too, for people who aren't quite ready to make a commitment for the long run. It's one of those neat things. You get to help a dog through an issue, medical, behavioral, or just getting adjusted. And then when you do hand the dog off to the permanent owner, a permanent home, that dog usually will remember you. I've heard of people who have gotten together for, you know, backyard barbecues and they've gotten to hang out with their foster dog and the foster is eternally grateful because they were that step on the journey that was just so important. So, you know, it takes a specific mindset to do that, but it can be incredibly rewarding. So, fostering is always an option too. If you're not ready to make that permanent commitment, we'll take you.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's such an important part now of the whole shelter experience is having fosters because it's much better for their socialization. It's much better for them emotionally and it relieves anxiety because that's what happens when shelters get very crowded, right, Jen? Is that there's all the constant barking, the constant emotions are high, right?
Yeah. It's one thing that, you know, we love what we do and we love where we work, but we all know that this is not the best place for an animal to be. We know that this is not a good permanent home for them. So we like to be that, you know, the way station that they stop here for a few minutes, a few days, whatever it takes, and then move on. When we can have fosters that are taking them out of the situation, you know, so especially the dogs that find this to be kind of nerve wracking, it does them so much better. And we hate to see a dog that is stressed out in the kennel or anything like that. We can spend a lot of time with them during the day. We have a great crew of volunteers that will take animals out for walks and do cuddling and that kind of thing. But nothing takes the place of a home situation, a home environment. And when we can get the animals out more quickly, that is just all the better. And again, that's one of the reasons why this 50-50-50, our donor thought maybe this could be that incentive to kind of push people to, they were thinking about it, well, maybe if we reduce the fees a little bit, right, you know, and then they have that extra, the money that they would have spent on the adoption, they have that to spend on toys or whatever they want to
spend on. Yeah. Right. If you're just joining us, Jen Smea is our guest from Haws, Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County, talking about their 50-50 adoption, 50-50-50 adoption event that's going on right now. 50% off adoption fees on 50 dogs weighing over 50 pounds.
And bringing, showing us Ducky too. Like in my head, like I said, my dog is about 25 pounds. And one of my big things is I didn't want to have a big, big dog because it's just not my jam. And I have to be reminded that dogs the size of Ducky is still 50 pounds, but they're not big dogs. Like to me, a big dog is like a Great Dane that's like 9 feet tall standing up, or you know, a Saint Bernard that can just envelop you. But like 50 pound dogs are just, you know, that's a good sized dog. That's a golden retriever. That's a lab. And you know, Calvin, you said in our chat here, you said that your yellow lab is 60 pounds and 8 years old, and you said not fat.
Yeah, I think it's
standing up for their body image.
Well, no, there's like, you hear about 70 and 80 pound labs a lot that are on the chunky side, but he's athletic. He's fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, muscle, you have to take into account that a lot of these dogs that are the athletic type dogs are going to have good muscle and good muscle tone. Mm-hmm. So you can have a shorter dog that is still around 50 pounds just because that's the way they're built.
Yeah.
And even if you don't see it underneath the fur, like a golden retriever or something like that. Yeah. There's dog under there. But yeah, unfortunately, you know, while we have this 50-50-50 going on, we don't have a whole lot of 70 or 80 pound dogs available. Most of them are right around 50 to 60 pound weight range. So yeah, if you're looking for something, it's like you said earlier, it is more of a medium sized dog. It's not a huge dog. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do have some big dogs if you really
want a big one. Yeah.
We've got that for you. We've got pretty much everything. But yeah, I mean, it's not huge. We're not asking you to adopt a woolly mammoth or a pony or anything like that. We're looking for you to adopt something that's manageable for you, and 50 pounds is manageable for a lot of people.
The mammoth adoptions will happen next year. We'll certainly have you back. We'll have you back for that.
Yes, please.
John from Boaz is on the line. Good morning, John. We've only got about a minute left, John. What did you want to know?
Well, mastodons are more important in this area because we found some bones in one of our backwater creeks. Mastodons.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well,
the mastodon adoption event will also be happening. Thank you, John. Later next year.
Those will be a little, those won't be 50-50-50. Those will be a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
And
Jen, I better start looking for a donor now for those.
Yeah. And probably a new crate.
Yeah.
Jen Smea is here. Can you stay for one more segment, Jen?
Sure. You bet.
Wonderful. She's with Haws, Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County. Mark, I see you on the line. We will take you when we get back. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A swing man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Olympics are underway in Paris, and did you know the Badger State is well represented? 18 athletes on Team USA call Wisconsin home. There are two from the northwestern part of the state, Kenny Benarek, a runner from Rice Lake, and weightlifter Mary Tyson Lappin from Eau Claire. Two from northeast Wisconsin qualified. Tyrese Halliburton is from Oshkosh and plays basketball. And Madeline Watermaker is a rower from Nina. 14 are from the south central and southeast area, ranging from Margarita Vincenti, competed in fencing. She's from Hartford. Palin Jacobson from Elkhorn is a wrestler. Marie Laborde qualified for judo and is from Kenosha. Then we have Lauren O'Connor from Belleville, Sophia Vidas from Franklin, and Nick Rusher from West Bend. They're all competing in rowing. The Olympic Games continue through August 11th. Go team! Until next time, I'm Terry Baugh.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hello, tipsy toe. She broke a needle and she can't so walk in the dark.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. And you can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Very excited to have our guest join us from Hawes Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County. Jen Smea is here, and we're talking about their 50-50-50 adoption event. So 50% off adoption fees for 50 dogs, 50 pounds and over. If you have been thinking about adding a furry friend to your home, now is a really good time to do that. Jen, we were talking a little bit before the break about the fosters and how important fostering is.
Yeah.
And for people who are thinking, well, how well do they know these dogs? How well do they know, you know, what they're like? You guys spend a lot of time with them, and that's kind of the whole point of the fostering, is to find out what the personality of each animal is like, right?
Right. You know, we do have a lot of staff and volunteers that are daily interacting with the dogs, you know, doing manners training with them, whatever kind of enrichment we can to get to know them a little bit better. But how they act in the shelter is a little bit different than how they're going to act in your home. So it's nice to get just that extra level of information about their personalities, about their likes and dislikes. And often when people come into adopt, they ask the basic questions. Is the doghouse trained? Does it like to ride in the car? How does it do when we're, you know, just sitting around at home? Is it going to bark when the doorbell rings? You know, basic things that we may or may not be able to find out. And even if the dog has been surrendered and has a good profile from the previous owner, you know, some of these things may not translate later on.
Right.
So it's nice to have those adoptive families, or the foster families, give us a little bit more insight into the dog's personalities. How did it do with the family resident dog? How did it do when it met a dog out in public? How did it do with a cat? What does it think of the kids? What kind of things annoyed it? Is it afraid of fireworks? You know, all these little things that really do come into play that you want to know when you bring home a dog that are going to be a mystery. And the fostering really can help us with that and answer some more questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, if you have another animal in the home, how are they going to react to that? If you have small children, how do they react to that? Are they food, you know, motivated? Are they toy motivated? All of those kinds of things are really important. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still learning that stuff.
Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Good morning, Mark. Thank you for your patience. Did you have a question for Jen?
Yeah, well, just the dogs are neat. Dogs are great. They lick your face. They lick your plate. That I've got a 75-pound yellow lab. And yesterday he spent part of the day with a Chihuahua, and they got along famously. They were chasing each other around, and you know, once they put touch noses they were just having a good old time, and that. But my dog Chief, he likes pretty much every dog he meets, and that some are cautious of him, but he is just. And right now he's up, you know, that sitting right next to me, and you know, splayed out, and he is
perfect.
Hey, Mark, the next time you have Chief playing with the Chihuahua, I want video.
Yeah.
I'd really love to see that, because that's one of those things that you can watch just for a laugh. I look for that stuff on YouTube all the time because it's just enjoyable, and I think it's good for your heart.
That's something I've learned, like with Maybell is fascinated by dogs. She's fascinated and wants to be best friends with dogs her size and bigger. She wants to play. any dog smaller than her is like, what is this? What is this thing in front of me? This is weird.
You don't even count as a dog.
She sniffs around it and then walks away. She has no time.
I don't understand that. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
8-5.
To show you, I got a picture of Ducky hanging out here. In the...
Like, yes, I'll
He's
take
kind it. Of annoyed because we're bothering his nap. You're,
stop waking me up. I was dreaming about treats. You can give Ducky a home. You can give wonderful dogs that they have at Haws during this 50-50-50 adoption event. If you've been thinking about it, now is a good time to consider it. And, Jen, people can just come in and take a look. You can also go to the website, which is another good way. And
right. Yeah. And our Facebook, we have an album right now that we're continuing to update as maybe we get new dogs in that are fitting underneath this campaign. So it's on our Facebook page. It's the 50-50-50 album. You can see all the dogs that are eligible for this. And we've also been posting in our stories. We have adopted out 12 already. So yeah, since this started about 12 days ago,
we
have gotten 12 dogs adopted out already. So we are doing good. It's good progress. We'd obviously love to, you know, get the 50 done sooner rather than later, but it's exciting to know that they are going. And as dogs are coming in that are fitting in that weight range, we're going to add them to it. So yeah, check out our website, our adopt page, go onto our Facebook page or stop in. We're open 7 days a week. So come on over, stop in, wander through, see if something catches your eye.
Well, and that's important for folks to remember too, I think, Jen, is that once they come out, there's another one coming in to take their spot because unfortunately, and people have to surrender their animals for different reasons. Sometimes you lose your job and you have to move, or, you know, you're moving to an apartment that doesn't allow pets. And that has got to be an excruciating thing for the surrenderer. That's why it's nice to see people open up their hearts and their homes if they can. And take care of some of these puppies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, life happens. I mean, we understand it. Unfortunately, I guess we have job security in that way. But the thing is that when those next dogs come in, having a great community that is open to adopting, we have so many people that are interested in adopting to the point that, you know, we have been able to partner with some shelters in areas that don't have good adoption rates.
Wonderful.
You know, so we are able to bring dogs in from areas that euthanasia is still a concern. And around here, it pretty much isn't. So it's nice to be able to help others out and to know that we've got people in this community that are looking for animals, that are looking to add another dog to their home, another cat, whatever it is. So we're here. We're available when you need us. When you don't, come on over anyway and say hello.
You can always volunteer.
Yep.
If you are not ready for the commitment of adopting a dog, check out the foster program.
Yeah.
You can just foster for a weekend, right, Jen? I mean, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, we do some outings and overnights where if you want to take a dog home for the weekend, yeah, it's great for the dog. Again, it's great for us to learn more about the dog. And it's a great way for people to realize, are we ready for this commitment? You know, what is our lifestyle like? You know, it's good for everybody. It's a win all the way around.
Yep, absolutely. We will include the link to your website in our show notes so people can follow up. And again, if you'd like to volunteer, if you would like to foster, there's all kinds of opportunities. Organizations like this do not run without volunteers.
Yeah.
They simply cannot. Jen Spann,
they
are from Haws Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County. I want to know how long is this going to go, this 50-50-50 adoption event? Until as long as it takes.
Dogs are adopted.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So we've got 38 to go. And, you know, if it takes us a month or two, we'll keep doing it until we're done.
Well, keep us posted. We will follow up with you and find out how this goes. Thank you so much. Jen Smea has been our guest. News is coming up next. When we return, the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports balls. That's coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tell me, how does your garden grow? You got silver bells and you got cockle shells. Pretty maids all in a row, walking bird dog. Just a walking bird dog. If you don't know how to do it, show you how to walk a dog. Come on now, come on, come on. Just a walking.
listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Cannabis is illegal for recreational use in Wisconsin. Only CBD products with a low THC level are legal for medical use. David Hilden of the American College of Physicians urges research to settle the question of cannabis safety.
Voters don't have all of that information at their fingertips. And so it is up to state governments, public health agencies, the federal government, to do that scientific inquiry into the benefits and the harms and then put some safeguards in place.
The college says states should consider the effects of legalization on communities and not just users. It's another record year for attendance for the EAA Air Venture. About 686,000 people came to the world's largest fly-in last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is planning one of the largest mapping projects of Lake Superior in some of its deepest waters. According to a WDIO report, the organization has been collecting new mapping data on the lake since 2020 and is hoping the data they receive will help with safety, navigation, and even tracking invasive species in the lake. Their crews plan to return to the lake next summer to collect data in the deeper waters. The data could take as much as 2 years to be released after collection. St. Louis County officials are reminding residents to submit their damage assessments following the severe flooding in June. According to county officials, residents must submit their damage assessments by Friday to schedule an inspection by the county. Homeowners that suffered damage from the floods could be eligible for property tax relief in the form of the local option disaster abatements and credits. If an assessor determines that their property qualifies, homeowners have until August 30th to submit those forms. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a movie to watch this coming October 11th, you might want to check out Saturday Night, the film about the launch of Saturday Night Live in 1975. The Hollywood Reporter writes that it is getting a primo release date when it comes to award season. The film is directed by Jason Reitman and tells the story of the behind-the-scenes drama leading up to the first episode of Saturday Night Live. Real-time host Bill Maher sat down for an in-depth, as much as possible anyway, conversation with Haley Welch, a.k.a. the Hawk Tua Girl, on his Club Random podcast, where Maher shared his views on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Maher said he thinks Kelce will dump Swift because Swift is immature, and at 35, a little too old to be wearing her boyfriend's football jersey, said the 68-year-old Maher to his hot 21-year-old guest. The episode saw the self-proclaimed intellectual Maher laugh at the jokes Welch dropped in between double negatives. Why would you sacrifice your principles to talk to someone whose fame timer is in rapid decline? Yes, I'm asking Haley. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with a few lingering showers and thundershowers this morning, then gradually becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. It will be cooler today with a high of 82 tonight. Mostly clear, a little fog possible overnight. Low of 62 tomorrow, sunshine with a high near 90. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm sitting in the theater, Conrad. I'm alone. A couple walks in. Where do you think they sat?
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. You moron. How can you... Spatial awareness. My goodness. Next day, I go to this bathroom. There's like 7 urinals. I'm all the way down on the end. Where do you think this person came in? Not right next to me, but enough where it was weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll evaluate the Paris Olympics at the halfway point, talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and this week's media coverage with Mark Jacob.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome back.
Oh,
to Matineer on air. Jane Matineer, Greg Mock, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you for joining us. Just a reminder, if you are in the Waukesha area this coming Saturday from 8 until noon, the wonderful Waukesha Farmers Market is going on. It happens in the parking lot of Waukesha State Bank, right downtown Waukesha, along the beautiful Fox River. We will be out there. I will be out there this Saturday from 8 until noon. We have a new prize wheel. I just saw it.
Ooh.
You can win T-shirts. You can win state fair tickets. You can win restaurant coupons, including the best stuffed pretzel and beer cheese soup you will ever have at the Delafield Brew House. It's fantastic.
I wouldn't know. Well, I actually had the pretzel.
I brought you part of the pretzel.
But not fresh out of the kitchen.
So that is this Saturday. I would love to have the opportunity to meet you. So stop by, look for the Civic Media tent, and come on out. And if you would like to have a longer conversation, I'm going to be there for quite some time. We'll have two chairs. I'll buy you a cup of coffee. We'll share a piece of a scone of peace. And we can have a nice long talk.
And you can say it to her face.
Say it to my face, baby. You got something to say? Say it to my face. He joins us every Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. The Acme Packing Company's sports guru, Paul Noonan, is here. Good morning, Paul. How are you doing?
Morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
Wonderful. Have you been watching a lot of the Olympics?
In fits and starts, I actually haven't seen as much of the big events like gymnastics and swimming as I would have liked. Whenever I turn it on, it tends to be badminton or handball or something that's fun to watch once every 4 years, but then you're kind of good.
That was enough.
Like water polo? Good God, who designed that?
It looks like something that was invented to torture people specifically. And not a knock on if you play water polo. I mean, I respect you a lot, and I don't want to run into you in a dark alley.
Absolutely. We will get to Simone Biles in a minute. Let's start off with the Brewers trade deadline.
All right. It was a little anticlimactic. The Brewers, frankly, needed to add a bat, preferably a left-handed bat, because Christian Yelich is now on the injured list with a bad back. All of the descriptions of his back are fairly disastrous seeming. It seems that it's a disc problem and a ligament problem and a muscle problem. And there's probably a decent chance. Well, first of all, he's probably done for the year, but they have kept him at least available for potentially a playoff run. But Yelich is 32, and there are not a lot of good 33-year-old Major League Baseball players, generally speaking. Coming off a bad back makes it harder. So. Yeah. This might be the last of effective Christian Yelich we've ever seen. But this left a huge dent in the Brewers lineup, and they didn't take any action at all to fill it. So the one move they made was acquiring starting pitcher Frankie Montes from the Reds. He hasn't been a terribly inspiring pitcher for the last 2 years. Frankie Montes was once a very good pitcher, and they do need a guy to take some innings. Their starting pitching is not very deep. And they must see something they can fix. But he has had a rough 2 years. This year has not gone well for him. And in acquiring him, they gave up Joey Weimer, who is we had fun with Joey Weimer's mullet last year in the 30 games he was up for the team. He is a good athlete. I'm not sure he's going to work out. But they also gave up Jacob Junis, who is a relief pitcher, not a starting pitcher, but by almost anything you want to look at, a better pitcher than Frankie Montes at this point. So they, I guess, see something they can maybe fix in Frankie and get a good starting pitcher out of him. But it was a weird deadline move. They also added Nick Mears earlier before the deadline came around, who's a relief pitcher with a good fastball who needs to work on his breaking stuff. But an uninspiring deadline. And the Cardinals, I think, rightfully smell some blood in the water here because they went out and made the biggest move. One of the biggest moves, getting Eric Fetty, the White Sox best starting pitcher, and getting Tommy Pham back. And if you are into Cardinals devil magic and them generating great players from kind of out of nowhere, Tommy Pham's kind of one of those guys and immediately hit like a walk-off home run for the Cardinals upon being back. So it was not a great Brewer trade deadline. And I think that they have a 5-game lead with 50 something games to go. Mm-hmm. They've left an opening here for the Pirates and the Cardinals to do some damage.
Well, and without Yelly, that's really not good.
It's really not. Their lineup has been better this year, generally speaking, than it has the last few years. And so they're not like hopeless, but it just gets so much easier to navigate through with basically just Contreras and Adames as the really scary guys. Maybe Ortiz a little bit too, but he's been slumping a bit. With Yelich there, it was always kind of this big impediment in the middle of their lineup that pitchers had to really worry about and plan around. And having it gone is really rough and also really opens them up to right-handed pitching doing damage against them. They were kind of immune to platoon splits against them, but now a smart team, the Cardinals do this all the time, can just line up righties against the Brewers and have a lot of success.
I was feeling good before they played Atlanta. I was feeling really good. Even with Yelich hurting his back, I get it, and I know, you know, it makes sense. He's getting, and I mean this in baseball terms, he's getting up there in age.
Right.
And it's, you know, you're going to start seeing him go through that Ryan Braun, like, you know, turning into the elder statesman of the Brewers. But, you know, like not doing well against the Marlins and losing to Atlanta, losing like 2-3, it's not inspiring. And what you're talking about too with the trade deadline too, I don't like to believe in the all-star, you know, fall apart, but it just seems like it's not, it seems like they're getting stuck.
It does. And on top of all of that, like injury to insult, their two best relief pitchers, Trevor McGill and Brian Hudson, also spent time on the IL, still are. They did get Devin Williams back, fortunately, to make that a little bit, but it's just been a really tough like 2 weeks for the Brewers in terms of losing all of their best players, not doing anything to mitigate against it.
They
haven't won a series since the Cubs. Like, it's been a rough one lately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, well, and also the question is, how good is the White Sox best opening pitcher, though? Because that's, I mean, I don't mean to insult the White Sox. I love the White Sox. I always root for the White Sox if I'm watching them. But, like, they're having a monumentally bad year. Like,
they're one of the worst run franchises in all of sports.
Yeah.
Before this season started on my baseball podcast, I predicted they would be one of the worst teams of all time.
I remember hearing that. Yeah. Man. I mean, like, being like, dang, Paul, dang.
That is going to come to fruition. They are one of the worst teams of all time. They have one good player left. That's Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
And he basically tanked his own trade value by saying he would not pitch in the postseason for whichever team he landed on without an extension. So they basically couldn't move him. He's still there.
That's like me working at like Pick and Save. No, I will not work for Goldman Sachs without a sign-on bonus. Like, what are you talking about? You take the job you can get. I mean, yeah. Go on.
Yeah, I get that though, because you don't want he hasn't gotten paid yet, so and he's not in a fun situation. But yeah, the Brewers are gonna have to fight and scratch and claw to actually, I think, grind out this division at this point, because there's not help coming from anywhere. We always do. They may be able to get some late help if they promote Jake Mizorowski, their best relief pitcher in the minors, who just got promoted to Nashville. If the other two can't get back, that's the one piece of help you might get. But offensively, this is going to be it. And they have not put up runs without Yelich. It's going to be interesting to see if they can just luck into a good run of offense here.
If you're just joining us, Paul Noonan is our guest. He is with the Acme Packing Company. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Jordan Love landed a pretty good deal. We didn't have a chance to talk about that. We were at the baseball game yesterday.
Yeah, it was Friday confirmed on Friday. Yeah.
When the news came out. So $200 million, Paul?
The total value of the contract is something like $238 million, and you know, guarantees play a role in how much you'll actually get paid, but the bottom line is he did very well on an annual basis. He is right up there with the highest paid guys in the league. He and Tua Tagovailoa are represented by the same agent, and so they wanted Tua to go first. I think that was actually a little bit of the delay here, so that he wouldn't get he wouldn't be an afterthought to Love, because Love did do better than him contract wise. But the bottom line is, when you have a good quarterback, you have to pay the guy. And this is actually still pretty team friendly. For the first 4 years of this extension, counting this year, which I guess is not part of it, but he will never exceed 14% of the salary cap. And while it's, you know, enormous numbers in terms of what he's getting paid, that's really what it comes down to in terms of being able to run a team effectively with a quarterback that you actually had to shell out for. Love did great here. He is, one of the highest paid quarterbacks of all time until the next round of quarterbacks come in.
Yeah.
Yes, Calvin. Calvin points out, largest signing bonus in the history of the league. There's actually, you can quibble with that a little bit based on some inflation numbers, but basically, yeah, that's true. In terms of gross numbers, it absolutely is the highest signing bonus ever in the history of the league. And so they basically have him through 2027. In 2028, the Packers like to do this for some reason. His base salary escalates from $10.4 million to $49 million. And the prorated signing bonus that year is $16 million. And so if they actually pay that year out, they'll have to pay him $65 million. That won't happen. That is a trigger for an extension. So basically, you have Love on this contract through 2027. And then if at that point, they will have to extend him in order to function as a football team. But they kind of build that into how they actually work out quarterback contracts. And part of the reason that that $49 million is base salary is because while that guarantee is huge, it doesn't entirely encompass that base salary that year. So if there is a disaster and they have to move on, they can do it. But bottom line is we've got a good quarterback for at least the next 5 years. So yay for that.
All right. Well, go Jordan Love. I like Jordan Love. I do. It's a lot of money to play with a ball. But anyway, in the 3 minutes that we have left, Paul, let's talk a little bit about the Olympics. And Simone Biles is now the most winning. She has won the most among gymnasts.
She's the biggest winner.
She is the biggest. And I am so delighted for her. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Some of the grief that she got 4 years ago when she pulled out of Tokyo, and I mean, it was cruel. It was really cruel. And as a sports journalist, what did other sports journalists say at that time? Do you remember?
Yes. And there's kind of two facets of sports journalism, and one is lunkhead guys who are the ones who I think tended to get on her for that, who viewed any kind of any issue. I mean, that was, we should remind everybody, 4 years ago was COVID. People were not in a great mindset, generally speaking, and people were legitimately mean. And that happened to her for sure. And a lot of other athletes who dropped out for things. I actually remember Lorenzo Cain taking a bit of a hit similarly for deciding to take the COVID season off. But Biles, I think, really got hit hard because there's so much pressure on gymnasts and Olympic athletes in general who concentrate their entire lives to do this one thing. I could not be happier for her winning gold at this Olympics, just basically to show that, still got it. Like this was this was just, you needed a break. You needed to get yourself right and are still able to work into world-class shape and pull off a gold medal. And also signaling a little bit of a shift in gymnastics generally, which is it used to be a young person's sport.
Yes.
It has grown lately into a sport where you actually can succeed. We talked about Jelic being old earlier. By old here, I mean like not a teenager, but you can actually win medals like in your 20s. That is a recent phenomenon and a good phenomenon because that sport has a lot of problems other than mental health in physical development.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
It's great that she won. Yep, she's nipped Shannon Miller for the lead in medals, and it's just great to see. And I also will give a quick shout out to the Bears for being very nice in letting Mr. Biles, who is now a safety for them, go and visit her.
So. Yeah.
Mr. Biles, well done. I like that. No, I'm just delighted for her, and I hope that will shut up all the haters.
Yeah, Jane.
And she's 27 years old. As you said, Paul, in gymnast years, she's like 112. So well done. Well done, Simone Biles. All right. We will see you in a couple of weeks. Paul Noonan, check him out at the Acme Packing Company. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. Oh, and breakdancing tomorrow at 9 at the Olympics.
Oh,
stay with
us. My daughter's very excited.
Oh, I can't wait. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from downtown Waukesha. You can join us. You can call. You can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can always email the show as well. If you have a guest suggestion, we would love to hear from you. Something you would like to hear us highlight that's going on wherever you are across the state. If you're in Oshkosh, or Amory, or Hayward, or Park Falls, or Wausau. Jane says at civicmedia.us, I'll say it again, Amory.
I feel like ever since you went there, the magic is off.
Because it's my favorite place now I've been.
I know, but you can still Amory.
I love Amory. So yes, Jane says at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane says at civicmedia.us. We wanted to clear up a couple of emails, a text rather. Sometimes when things get rolling along and then we get guests and we kind of have to move on topics. Mm-hmm. But I did want to address some of these because they were actually quite amusing. Jim from Appleton, we were talking more words from men last hour. Jesse Waters of Fake Fox News actually said out loud.
Yes.
That scientists say.
You know, scientists.
Scientists, the general scientists.
Yeah.
They say that if a man votes for a woman, he transitions to a woman. So Jim in Appleton, listening in Green Bay on WGBW, says, I turned in my absentee ballot a few days ago on which I voted for two women. I am breathlessly awaiting the glorious change. Maybe it will kick in after August 13th. If that happens, Jim, call us.
Call us. And on the same topic, a longtime listener, Matt from Germantown, listening on WAUK, says, as an assistant professor of medicine, I can say for certain that science does not say that. Ha, 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 ha.
It was that second ha, ha,
it was
ha,
the ha, ha.
That brings it home.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Also, we had Jen Smea on from Hawes in the first half hour of this hour. We're talking about their 50-50-50 adoption that's going on. And then Carmela, a wonderful listener in Milwaukee, asked, because we had talked about this a couple of weeks ago when I was out at the Waukesha Farmers Market, I met this really nice woman named Renee who had just lost her 86-year-old mother, and mom's dog Gizmo needed a new home because Renee could not keep her.
Yeah.
And so we did do a couple of breaks about that just to try and get the word out. And I stayed in touch with Renee and she did find someone on her own. So Gizmo has been homed.
Good.
Yeah. Gizmo found a home, and her whole thing was she wanted to make sure that it was the right fit. So we are delighted.
Very happy about that.
Delighted to hear that that happened.
And thank you again to everyone who reached out, looking for information, trying to help out as well.
Yep.
You are good and solid people. Salt of the earth.
Golden people.
Golden people.
Golden people, absolutely.
Jane, I wanted to wish you a happy something. And Calvin, too. Today is International Child-Free Day.
Oh, no.
You hear that? J.D. Vance says, a day across the world!
Don't tell him this.
Yeah.
Because JD is going to think that this is a new plot by Democrats to celebrate International Child Free Day. This has been there for a while, JD. Just take a pill. take a breath.
Take a knee.
I bet you can do that too.
Find a couch to lay down on and relax. What? I'm just prescribing rest and relax. Scientists say, Jane.
Yes.
A nap is rejuvenating, breathes new life into you.
Sure.
You can just, you know.
I'm very pro-nap.
I'm pro-nap as well.
Today is the first day of the wonderful Wisconsin State Fair.
Oh, baby.
If you stop out this Saturday, Waukesha Farmers Market, 8 until noon, right next to the Fox River in downtown Waukesha, we have a wheel of prizes.
We need echo on that. Wheel, wheel, wheel.
Calvin, this is on your worksheet.
Prizes.
Where you can win not only restaurant certificates and WAUK and Civic Media t-shirts, but Wisconsin State Fair tickets.
Yes.
So, and you don't have to do anything. Just stop by the Civic Media tent. David and I will be out there from 8 until noon this Saturday. And come and spin the wheel of prizes and see what wonderful things you can walk away with.
Also, have a chat.
Yeah, we can always have a chat. I will buy scones, maple bacon scones from Pig and Pastry. I love that place. We can share a piece of a scone of peace if you want to have a nice long chat.
There you go.
Come on down and say hello. If you're going to be heading out to the state fair, the Sporkies are always a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have never been one to try, like, all of them.
Me either.
Some of them are just too, no. The Cool Ranch Doritos Pickle.
That I'd try.
Yep. A large dill pickled spiral cut on a stick, rolled in crushed up Cool Ranch Doritos, and then deep fried. Really?
Oh, I would eat that.
That calls to you?
A heartbeat. Calvin, would you eat that?
It's the deep frying part that's throwing me off.
All right, get off the microphone. I don't like
a
you anymore.
Hot pickle. I like my pickles cold, I guess.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, but you ever had like pickle chips or like you've never had deep fried pickles regardless? Never? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess.
Get out of my country.
Right about that.
Yeah.
But they're a little slimy on the inside.
You are just, I am not getting you a birthday present this year. All right.
It's no longer an American. Deep fried lemon bites. Hawaiian sweet rolls. Dipped in French toast batter, lemon curd filling, deep fried, because, of course, that's the point. Tossed in a lemon sugar with a drizzle of icing. That sounds kind of tasty.
That sounds really, really good. I'd want to have that with one of the Arnold Palmer. I think it's the winner of the drinkies.
I think you're right.
Which is a nice refreshing drink with a nice treat to share with somebody. Because if I eat all of those, I'll be asleep within 10 minutes.
Elvis nachos. This is a food crime. Peanut butter banana sauce over deep fried potato chips topped with peanuts, chopped banana chips, and crumbled bacon.
No, pass.
That's just wrong.
You know, the thing about this used to be the food used to be ridiculous, crazy. Who thinks of this? Now anyone with a TikTok account or Instagram sees this food on a daily basis. Not against the people who created and won. Congratulations. Wonderful. But now it's like a deep fried pickle.
Is everywhere.
Yeah. And so now it's like, we got to take it up a notch.
The Sporkies have become mainstream.
Oh, they sold out, baby.
We will put a link in our show notes if you want to check out the Sporkies and the Drinkies if you're heading out to the Wisconsin State Fair, which kicks off today in West Dallas. Enjoy yourself. Yes. News is coming up next. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. News is next. Todd Alba after that. Stay right here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you in the morning.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Thursday for a throwback edition. Donald Trump has offended Jewish people. He's offended black people. What ethnic group will he offend today?
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Life hack number 7, get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher-end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.